Welcome to Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse monthly podcast for all aspiring wordsmiths and versifiers.
Okay, the 8th is the 3rd and it's International Women's Day. And hey, at this table right now we have three women writers. Always be a little bit frightened when you have three women writers sitting together, blokes, because, yes.
I think that writing was probably one of the first fields where women really dominate. In fact, women dominated writing. Initially, they really embraced novel writing, and
yep.
Probably some of the most famous novelists in the 18th and 19th century were women.
Mm.
So there's a tradition about women and writing. They go together.
Because women have pockets of time in between waiting for the washing to dry, and you can scribble a few things. And
those women had someone else to do their washing for them. They were fortunate.
The ones who were writing. Yeah.
Yes, the ones that were writing. Generally, could afford to pay someone to.
But it was good that some of those women nowadays got a washing machine.
Yes, instead of servants. Instead of making other women do their work for them.
It's all good, though, because we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're allowed to voice our opinion. In our country, it is so, but sadly, as women writers, we've probably got some wherewithal to assist with the women who don't have the options, the ability to do the same. Anyway, I'm Carolyn. I'm the president of Adelaide Plains Poets. We have
Jeanette, secretary.
Marilyn, member.
Valued member.
Valued member.
Long-term member too.
Long-term member,
yep,
indeed. Yes.
So what are we doing today, Jeanette?
We're starting off with a new item on our agenda, and that's a news. We're going to talk about events. And Carolyn is going to kick that off because she's just been to Writers Week.
On Tuesday, I went to Writers Week because there were a few writers speaking at the Women's Pioneer Park. And I thought, yes, I'd like to listen to them. And it was wonderful. Just sitting there listening, and next to me or near me, I saw somebody I know. I thought, oh, yes, I'm not alone in this crowd, because I was looking. No. Don't know that person or that person. Doesn't matter. The words were fantastic. I listened to a few different writers in the earlier part, and then I went to an event that was happening, Dimmick's Books. They had a stage at the front of Dimmick's Books in Rundlewall.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And I knew the poets who were there. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, yes, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to the poetry being read, and it was wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
And then there were a few gaps in it all, and I thought, well, hang on, I could fill that gap. Is it okay if I read a bit? Yeah, go on. So I read some of my own poetry.
Excellent.
And I read a poem that one of our group members wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading from the book that our writing group put out, Winged Pods, about
mm-hmm.
the Pioneer Fire, so nearly 2.5 years ago. So I read a poem that I wrote in response to that, and I read out one of Alex's poems. So, and that was good. It was great. So we had an audience of potential thousands.
Mm.
Rundle Mall.
During fringe.
Lunchtime, Rundle
yeah.
Mall.
Mm.
And we've got Martin Christmas going out and talking to people, engaging people and talking to them and saying, why don't you come along and listen? So some of them actually stopped. So a potential audience of thousands, I would dare say how many actually listened. I'm hoping more than 5, but hey, we were there.
Yeah.
And then after that, when that was all finished, I went back to Writers Week again because the poets were in charge of the stage. So I listened to five very fine poets, some of whom I hadn't heard read before. And that was a really interesting thing, a young woman, two young people that I'd never heard, doing quite different. They weren't genteelly reading poems from their little book or a little piece of paper. They were really performing their words in great ways. Thinking, wow, I could do that. No, I can't do that. If I was like 30 years younger, maybe I could do that. Who knows? But it was just really empowering and wonderful.
Well, that's the future of poetry, I guess.
I hope so, yes. And that's good. It's not all old people like me. And it's lots and lots of young people really getting into it.
And that's additional news about our own festival. We've had a change of plan in the lineup for the day at Malala, and we now have Peter Donovan, who is quite well known as a historian in South Australia. And I mentioned him to people at a meeting yesterday, and they're very excited.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yes, and he's going to give a talk. Because what would interest people, engage people in a rural community, is telling their own stories.
Yep.
So if we get someone to talk about history and how their stories are part of the local historical
yep.
culture of the area. So that's the mm-hmm. point of his talk. So that's news festival related. We will move on to poet-writer discussion, and we have something a little bit different planned for this month's podcast. We're going to talk about ourselves.
Okay, so Marilyn, talk about your writing.
Well, my writing, I find, is family-focused. That seems to be the thing that prompts me to write most of my poetry. And a lot of my just ordinary writing is very often recollections of things that happened when I was young. And it was interesting at a family thing the other day. My sister was telling us about an event that happened when we were all little. And the thrust of it was that Brian and I, her older brother and sister, were being mean to her. And we were up halfway up the hill on the other side from where the house is. And we were mean. When we were ready to go home, Brian and I came down, crossed the road, and we were both given a whacking because they could hear the screams and protests about the younger sister. Anyway, so she then felt vindicated. She wasn't going to come down with us. She was really cross. We were always meant to go together. Anyway, she came down. She was calm by then, crossed the road, and she got a whack as well. And she was really... She thought that was just so unfair and unjust because she was the victim.
Yep.
And she still got a whacking, and possibly because she...
Crossed the road by herself.
I don't know. Brian and I have no recollection of that, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Neither of us could remember it.
What's the age difference?
It was a big thing.
What's the age difference? How much younger is she?
She's, like, we were born in 46, 47, 48.
Okay.
So it's just
so it's
a
not,
year.
Not years and
yeah.
years.
Yeah, no. So she's just 2 years younger than me and 2 years young, 1 year younger than my brother. But then Bryce said, oh, we wouldn't do a thing like that.
Right.
But I thought that was interesting that stuck so clearly in her mind. And it was because of the injustice. So these little things.
Children feel... And, of course, the other thing that you write, Marilyn, that our group members are really loving, is your
detective
story.
I've pretty well finished the detective story, but unfortunately, I wrote it all in longhand on the train, and
hard to read.
Yeah, so now I'm typing it up.
Tedious stuff,
but I am getting there, and I do hope to share it eventually, one way or another.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I do have a poem here. Yeah. All right. Well, this was written in one of our writing sessions, and the prompt was desert. And this is just to show you how family things come into everything. This is what I wrote. My life was a desert, a barren place, an endless horizon with occasional mirages, dreamlike, without substance. Plodding on in slippers, going nowhere in circles, monotony, sickening blankness, but always moving on in a hope that had no basis. One day, a real oasis, then later, another. Gradually, the way became richer and fuller. It rained, there was greenery. I left the desert behind. And that's sort of talking about coming out of the misery following the death of my son.
Yeah.
So I wrote that, he died in 2008, and I wrote that last year, so 8 or 9 years, I suddenly realised that I'm always aware that he's dead, but it's not filling my mind the whole time.
Unless it's happened to you, you can't imagine.
No.
My mother, that grief, you have a piece of art there in that poem.
Yeah. Okay, so that's...
Does it make up for it? No, but it's something that wouldn't be there if it hadn't been for your experience. And is that lots of writing is based on trying to understand things.
Mm.
Things happen.
It's the same. It's a way we work through, whether we do it through writing fiction or through writing out our memories. We're still working through things that are churning in our heads.
Okay, Jeanette.
I started writing when I was wanting to write when I started reading. I decided to be an author.
Because, hey, who wouldn't want to be an author?
That was always my...
Apart from the fact that you don't...
My only real ambition in my life has been to be an author. No, not doing very well. But still trying. I think I started seriously writing work on my first novel when I was still at uni, and that's The Gate.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's a bit rough, because it's my first.
It's a good yarn.
In some ways, I mean, some of the writing, I look back and there's bits that I think are amazing.
Yes, yeah.
My problem's always plot, and I get caught up, lost in my own stories. So I've been writing, I've just written my first non-fiction, so that's been really interesting. And that was because the story literally fell in my lap. It just was there, and I had to write it down. So.
We're waiting to have a launch of that book.
That won't be ready this year.
No.
I've got some more research, a little bit more editing to do on it. I want to give it another edit. And there's still details I don't have. I need to get a few desk tickets. It's that extra stuff. The research I could do sitting at home on my laptop's all done.
Mm.
It's actually going, I want to get to Snowtown, I need to go to Port Adelaide.
Getting a feel for it all,
you know, doing that. And so that's my first venture into non-fiction. I was going to bring something to read, but they only rang and I talked for an hour, so it didn't happen. So over to you, Carolyn.
Okay, so I've written a few books. I've got poetry, and I've got a memoir, which is kind of written in verse, but it's prose verse. And I've got lots of bits and pieces of poetry and some short stories. And I've just started writing little bits of wisdom, little tiny little bits, a couple of words or phrases in this gorgeous book that were given to me, a really wonderful book, and I'll show it to you guys later on. It was a handmade book from... Oh, I can't remember. Kathmandu or... It was Nepal. Thank you. It was Nepal.
Yeah.
That's
Kathmandu.
What it's from.
Yeah.
Oh, that is...
And
the one. Okay. And it's just lovely. So I've written wise words on the front. I've written that on the front of it, wise words with a question mark, because they're my words. And it's just beautiful paper. And it's textured paper. It's got bits in the middle of it. It's made out of, bits
of vegetable
matter, yes. And it's just a gorgeous little thing, and it's in pages in different colours. I just put a few little lines in them as they come to me, and I have to think, is this going to be worthy of putting it in here? So I'm meant to be writing a kind of novel kind of on its way, and I'm thinking about my next poetry collection. Yesterday I was actually at this very hotel talking to somebody who wants to put out a poetry collection, so I was giving her some ideas. And I came up with the name for it, the title for the book, and she's thrilled.
I have so much trouble with titles.
That's what I said, and I said, I'm good at titles. And she says, she's hopeless at titles, and she's thrilled that I'd given her one.
Well, the book that Angus is editing, I finally come up with a title after about 10 years. I still haven't
come up with a couple of designs yet. Some writers need a title before they can start. Some do it afterwards.
That's what you call a long-term project.
Yes. You don't put out a book a year because that's just ridiculous.
I have one book I started work on when Angus was a baby. Of several actually. I started working on with Angus as a baby. Still in manuscript form.
Yeah.
Still works in progress.
I've got a young adult or upper primary, I don't know, a kid's book. And it's probably a novel. It's probably enough that I should send it to a publisher. Just have to find it again. I'll put it somewhere safe, and I hate that.
Okay, we'll move on. So, the writer's tip. At a moment, I thought the writer's tip should be drink coffee, relax, don't worry.
Yep.
Stress is poison to creativity.
That's very good.
Yeah. So when you hit that writer's block or whatever, don't try and force yourself to
have a coffee, look at the sky.
Yeah, go for a walk the dog or pull some reeds in the garden.
Yeah.
Just something physical. Get on the exercise bike or whatever.
That would be enough to make you want to get back to
anything rather than to writing.
And the word of the day is blark.
Blark.
And how is it spelled?
B-L-A-G-U-E.
I've never heard of
it. No, it's to, it's borrowed from a French word, and it means to be boasting, boastful, to tell lies, or humbug. So it's similar to humbug.
Oh, right.
So it's
bark.
I can't imagine bark. Using that in a normal conversation, because no, but you'd have to explain it.
Oh, you would now, yes. Yeah. But it does sound to blather or to boast. It's got enough similarity.
Yes.
To words.
One of the writers I was listening to at Writers Week, he was a French chap. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, mate. But, I mean, for a French speaker, a French person, to be able to go along to Writers Week and talk with his lovely French accent, but he did such a good job. And if I was in France, I would be absolutely stuffed. My French skills are minimal.
Yeah.
I could say, mais non. No, is that any...
And then I'd point what I wanted.
I know all my French through watching Poirot. Is it too sweet?
Mais oui. Yes. And he's not even French.
No, he's Belgian, but they speak French.
Yeah.
Thank you, Agatha.
Oh, he is a real person to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I read enough Agatha Christie books to certainly... I didn't actually like him in the books, but... It's okay.
I like the David Suchet Poirot.
Kelvin, do you have anything to read? I don't.
No, I don't have anything to read.
So we'll skip over reading.
But I've got something else we need to talk about.
Yes, answer.
Adaplan's Hearts have got a poetry competition. And the theme of that poetry competition is truth. So if you've got some poetic words about truth, why not get in touch and put your entry in?
And the entry details on the... will be on the Adelaide Plains Poets website.
Excellent.
The details will be on the web
yep,
page.
Very good.
Yeah. And now, finally, to the listener's challenge. And I thought this month, the confluence of the two rivers, in honour of Harmony Day, which was, I think, last week, when we were supposed to be recording. Anyway, it was Harmony Day.
Yep.
Has just been or gone or was about to...
Hang on, is that Friday?
Is it the 15th of March?
I'd have to look
so it's Friday coming or Friday after?
Friday after, maybe.
We'll just say not of Harmony Day. So that's all for now.
So, goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Okay, goodbye, everybody. Thank you.